That, I think that'll be fine.
That's fine. Well, let me know what topic, you know, you do, because I think maybe we're going to look at sleep next.
I'm my not passion sure is the fight for freedom.
Too much, but,
my father fought for World War II, defending our country.
Right.
Today, so we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country.
That was not
by
good.
Contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country.
Hello.
Greetings.
I'm sorry for my, I'm traveling, so I don't know, this is background, so please forgive me. I'd rather be in my office with a nice background for you, but forgive me for that, please.
You're good. No, I appreciate that. It's all good, brother. It's all good. Welcome aboard.
Thank you so much, and it's an honor. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you so very much.
No, I'm really glad to have you with me, and I'm sure that my several hundred thousand viewers will be pleased to welcome you. We're going to be going live here in about a minute and a half. And
I'll get a copy of this once it's
yes, absolutely. Yep. There'll be an audio and a video both.
Oh, thank you.
Sister, yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the background, but I want to accommodate. So I said, you know what? Some things just have to overcome and adapt, like we do in the military, adapt and overcome.
Brother, you're talking to a Russian linguist, Cold War vet. So I'm down with you.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Yeah, I'm down with you, man. I'm down with you. No, it's all good. Honest, it's all good. It'll be perfectly fine. We're just keeping it real.
Keeping it real. That's the only way to do it, is keep it real. Thank you. Yes.
Amen. Amen. So I've tagged this as kind of an inspirational half hour.
Oh, I love it. I'm all about that. Yes.
Yeah. So I just thought that would be kind of cool to, you know, kind of get into that. So really quick, my story is 6 years ago, I dove from the passenger seat to the driver's seat to save my daughter's life in a catastrophic accident. Died four times, 17 surgeries over 5 days, 6 weeks in intensive care, broke every bone in my body except my shoulders, my elbows, and my right hip. Everything else I broke, literally, broke my face, broke my neck, my back, my ribs, my entire left bottom leg, my pelvis, my hip, my femur, my tibia, my fibula, and that's my good leg, they say. I'm just now getting out of a wheelchair after almost 6 years.
And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
For your healing, I tell you. And my story is all about resilience. I don't know if you've been following, but I know what rejection is about. I know what resilience is about. Almost been aborted. The whole nine yards. There is a litany of stories in my books I've written about how I've overcome.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now. All right. Hey folks, welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, you heard good pieces of that on part of the recording, so that's all right. That was us underneath all of the intro that you heard. I'm very, very pleased to welcome to the program. This is the first time that he's visiting with us, and I'm so glad to have him, and that he's taken time out. And for those that are watching, yes, he is in travel mode. Because this man is in great people are calling him and saying come and help us out, come talk to us, come share your story with, come inspire us. And so I want to welcome Dr. Carl Barnes to the program. Dr. Barnes, welcome. Good to have you.
Good to be with you. Thank you so much for the invitation. My word is attitude of gratitude.
I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, we were, and we were, I didn't realize, and I apologize, we kind of had an open mic thing going on, but it wasn't like we were saying anything that we wouldn't say to everybody anyway, right?
Amen.
I mean, and what's, you know, what actually what's funny about that was, is that we kept saying, keep it real. Keep it real.
Keep it real.
Yeah. Right? So, folks, for those of you that are listening to the to this recording afterwards on iHeart and iTunes and what have you, you're going to hear our voices underneath the intro stuff, and we're keeping it real. We're keeping it real. Yeah. You talked about, in your background, your mom nearly aborted you, and I want to get into that. I want to have that conversation with you here in a minute. But you also talked about, and it, I'm not going to phrase this correctly, but what struck me was the idea of persevering.
Yes.
Okay. The idea of pressing through the fire and persevering. And I was just talking in the last hour. I do a health bit twice a month because I'm health is a big thing. Obviously, you heard a little of my story, but so you know, so and naturopathics for the 13 years before the accident actually saved my life because my body had in it what a normal 55-year-old wouldn't have, which is the building blocks of life in nutrition in my body. Okay. And I had people for 13 years while I'm laying hands on people and the blind are seeing and the deaf are hearing. And literally my good friend was raised from the dead from his kitchen floor, the lame walking, tumors, cancers, all of that, healing after healing after healing after healing. And people would say, well, Pastor, but you're not healed. Doesn't that bother you? And the Lord would remind me that his grace is sufficient for me. And he was teaching me what I refer to as faith that perseveres.
Oh, I love it. Yes. Yes.
I couldn't have made it through these 6 years.
Yes.
And learning how to not be able to do. All right, I'm going to say something that's going to like, because we're just real here, okay?
Being real, yes.
I told my kids, when I get old and I get to the point where I can't take care of myself in the bathroom, either you shoot me or I will, because that's what's the point of, you can't even wipe yourself.
Hmm.
I haven't been able to wipe myself for 6 years because of this accident. I'm still here.
But you're still here.
I'm still here. I'm just being real, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, folks, I don't care what situation you're in, what you think about your situation, how bad you think things are, and I think we'll flip it over and talk about vets too, because I know that's a passion for both of us, right?
Yes.
Look, I'm telling you, man, God can use whatever has happened in your life for his glory, and he will glorify himself through you if you'll just hang on.
Amen. Yes, 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 yes.
Talk to me, brother.
I tell you what, you started talking about tumors. I don't know, but as a child, you know, I saw my mother's tumors before she even had her tumors. God showed me these three black balls in my mother's body. I said, Mom, what's going on? 3 months later, she was diagnosed with tumors in those exact areas. I remember as a child, we went to this deliverance church in D.C., and you know what? She fell under the power. We lived next door to the church. The deacons took my mother home to bed. You know she was healed of those tumors? I was a child. I witnessed that. So I know what I'm talking about. When you said tumors, even though she's still in pain today, my brother, you know what? Her faith is stronger than I've ever seen it. Her mother just passed at 97 years old, and she took care of her mother in her pain. So she found faith to persevere because I look at my mother, I'm here because the grace of God told her not to let me go when she was about to abort me. So I know I have a mission in life to tell my story and say, you know what? You can persevere. I'm all about resilience, brother. I'm excited about this.
Man, this is good stuff, bro. This is good stuff. Folks, I told you, Holy Spirit told me to mark this down as Friday's inspiration.
Ooh, glory to God. Yes.
That's what Holy Spirit said. Now, you and I have never met one another before.
Never, no.
Okay, never.
Fact, I went to counsel. I said, why am I doing this, God? You know what? He said, you know what? Log in, because I'm getting ready for a medical appointment on a highway driver. I had to pull up. He said, now do this. Because I was going to back out, but I said, you know what? I feel the Spirit now. I feel great.
You know, it. That, and here's the thing. That was about obedience.
Obedience.
That was about obedience. I was talking to some folks last night, and the Holy Ghost came on me, and I was like, you know, if you're busy doing his will, woo, if you're doing his will, you can't do no wrong.
Woo.
Think, I want you to get this. If you're busy doing his will, you can't do no wrong.
Amen.
He is working in you to will and to do for his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13.
Glory to God. Yes.
I mean, come on now. And that's what you did. You pulled over and you said, I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to do what you've asked me to do.
I believe this is a God ordained moment. That's yep. My brother. Amen. Obedience. Yes.
Well, and it's funny because when you came on, so I saw you and I'm like, man, dude's not very dressed up for my show. He's kind of looking casual. And first thing he said was, he said, man, I'm sorry, I'm traveling today. And you know, but see, again, the enemy trying to get in the middle. Yes. Okay. The enemy trying to get, yes. Folks, you're going to have divine appointments. They're not necessarily always going to look the way that you think that they ought to look or how you want them to look. But you better be paying attention because God's got a divine plan and a divine purpose for why he brings us together. And you better understand Psalm 139. He wrote this stuff out before you ever drew your first breath, before you were ever an inkling, before your parents were ever an inkling, and they even on earth even knew each other from Amen. The foundations of the earth. He wrote it out. He wrote, Dr. Carl Barnes and Pastor Greg Young are going to come together at 8:13 a.m. Texas time on the 23rd of June, 2023. It's going to be a Friday, and I'm going to move.
Yep, because I said, oh my God, I'm used to a necktie, a nice background, but look what happened. You know what? When you're keeping it real, God said, no, you don't need a tie. Yeah. I want a coat because I said, this is not me. God, I said, I gotta present myself, you know, as a person that looked like a professional. But you know what? Keeping it real, I'm on the side of the highway right now. So you know what? God said, be obedient and log in now.
And he did that, and we got a little bit of time. But before we go, here's what's going to happen. And call your friends and get them on this show. Get them listening. Go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Go to TECN-TV. ChosenGenerationRadio.com. You can go to the listen page and you can listen just to the audio if that's how you need to do it. And we're live right now there. Or you can go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com and you can watch us. And that is the TECN-TV player that plays on my website. You can watch us right now. But Dr. Carl Barnes is going to drop a prayer on you before we leave today. And it's going to change your life.
Woo, glory to God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
He has assigned words. The Holy Ghost is going to speak through my brother, and he's going to touch you no matter where you are, because our God is not contained by time, space, dimension.
Mm-mm.
He lives outside of that. He controls Amen. All of that. He Amen. Is God.
He is God.
Now you were talking about you saw tumors in your mom before she ever had them. You also were talking about that there were forces that tried to end your life before it ever began.
Yes.
And here you are today.
Because my mother heard the voice of God to her, don't do it.
She said, he said, don't do it. Not one occasion, but twice she tried to self-induce, go to the clinic. But God said, don't do it. And looking today, because God knew that that seed in her wound had purpose. And today she said, I'm so glad I listened to the voice of God. As a teenage mother at that.
Well, and so, you know, the other thing, too, and I don't know how far we wrote down the road we want to go into this right now because of where we're at and what we're focused.
Yes.
But I think it is important to understand. We live in a country where a person with a teenage mom who's on the brink of being aborted has the opportunity to rise, get a degree, get an education, serve in the military, receive honors, shine for God, and we all the same. We're all brothers in Christ.
Amen.
We're all children of God. And it ain't about, you know, my skin, your skin, pigmentation, melatonin levels. It is about we are all children of the living God, and He glorifies Himself in us.
Amen. Amen.
Tell folks about, I mean, you are a humble man. I can see that. I can tell that. But let people know about what God has done through you, the awards, the
glory to God.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's a portfolio. And you know what? You say that because I say attitude of gratitude because it keeps me humble and a servant at God's feet because I know where I come from. Do you know that I wasn't even qualified to serve in the United States Navy because I couldn't pass the ASVAB test? I went in 3 times to the recruiting office. She said, your scores are too low. The next time I went in, she said, we got a brand new program. It's an apprenticeship program. And I said, I want to get through the doors, Father God. I went in with no degrees. All I had was high school education. So going into the Navy and apprenticeship program, because they said I was not a test taker. But God anointed this brain here. Long story short, retired 35 years later with 5 degrees. When the system said no, God said yes to me. I went in because they said I didn't qualify, but God had another story. God said, I'm going to use your story and your life as a testimony to tell people that they can overcome any odds. He can turn the pain into passion. And guess what? He can take those lemon and make lemonades out of. So I didn't even qualify and ended up becoming a senior officer, a commander, United States Navy, when the system said, you are not smart enough because your ASVAB scores were too low. I'm a living witness, say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ that gives you strength. I'm a testimony today because of that. Mm. I was turned down for several commissioning programs in the Navy. They said, no. But I'm a PK. My father's a pastor. I'm a minister. I gave my trial sermon in high school. So 15 years later, going in at the lowest pay grade of E1, guess what happened? Turned down for OCS. ECP, God had it desperate for me to be a Navy chaplain. I was on the brink of 15 years in the Navy. Long story short, January of 1997, I raised my hand to reenlist for 4 years in the Navy, getting ready for a 6-month deployment. I went to that ship January 1997. 4 months later, I started proving myself doing community service work. The CEO thought he had another chaplain, but I was an enlisted man at E6. But 4 months into the program, I put a request to that commanding officer, sir, I need to get out the Navy. He said, why? I want to pursue being a Navy chaplain, but they won't talk to me in active duty. I'm going to put my whole career on the line, which I did at 15 years. People say, you're crazy. So that's where crazy faith comes from. Sometimes you got to just do things because you know what? Trust God. People say, you're crazy. You're 5 years from retirement. I said, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. God had me in the right place at the right time on that ship in January. My CO, commanding officer, was the only person to say yes. Everybody said no. So what he did, he took a chance. He said, I don't know what it is, but I'm taking a chance on you. And the long story short, 9 months later, September, I walked off the ship, released my contract people. Glory to God. I got out of a 4-year contract, got out of a 6-month cruise to go to seminary and return to active duty as a Navy chaplain because I said, you know what? I'll give it all up. Wow. For the kingdom work. For kingdom work.
Yeah.
And so this is what God did in my life. I was willing to risk it all to know that after 35 years, I retired as a senior officer in the Navy Chaplain Corps only because I went in faith, didn't qualify to go in, got 5 degrees, not bragging because God anointed my mind to say, you know what, I can do all things, and I went in faith because not knowing that he had a bigger purpose, a bigger mission for me, and that's just one of the stories. Accolades, Big Brother of the Year for volunteer service. Yeah. I just recently got the presidential Volunteer Community Service Awards. Like, wow, thank you, Jesus. And it's still happening because I'm telling my story of resilience and how I have given back because I came from a faithful family. My mother and father instilled faith in me. They might have had riches and wealth, but they instilled prayer and faith in my life to know that that's what kept me going all those years in the Navy, on the six-month cruises, living overseas, facing crisis. I tell you what, my faith became stronger and developed over time because I persevered and said, no, it's not going to be my medicine of the day.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's interesting you shared that about turning lemons into lemonade. It's so funny. When I got out of my intensive care and went over to the acute care unit and I could start drinking fluids, because before that I had the tube in my nose and they were breathing for me. And I began drinking fluids. And my wife said, you kept asking for lemonade. That's all you would drink is lemonade. Every time you want lemonade. And I consciously, I didn't know why I wanted lemonade. But I began, as she's saying, what's the deal? I'm like, Lord, tell me why. And that is exactly what he said. He said, because I turn lemons into lemonade.
Yes.
That's exactly what he said to me. I turn lemons into lemonade. And yes. So whenever somebody would ask me, how come you're ordering lemonade? I would say, because God turns lemons into lemonade.
Amen.
Every time. All right, we got a few minutes left. I want to give you some space in the prayer time here. I want you to minister to our audience. I want you to pray for these folks. As the Holy Spirit is leading you, I know we got people that are suffering, that are struggling, that are pressing in, that are making an effort, but maybe feeling like they're just, you know, not where they'd like to be, somewhere better. They'd like to be seeing a breakthrough.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? You know, the chains being broken, man, the shackles coming off. So pray for our audience today, Dr. Carl.
Father God, amen. Let us pray. Father God, I want to thank you for using this venue, this segment, Lord, to touch the people that are listening and watching right now, Father God, because your word said, ask, knock, and seeking. There are people seeking for answers, for clarity, Father God. They are going through knowing that they can depend on you for everything they need, Father. They can turn lemons into lemonade, but they also got to confront to conquer. You see, we're confronting a lot of things in our life, Father, we want to run away from, but you're saying we got to face the Goliath in our life. Face the Goliath in your life and get those stones together and say, I will get through this. I will persevere through this, Father God, because you said you would not leave us nor forsake us, Father. With all the things going on, Father God, I know that you are a healer, you are a provider, Father, and you know what? Many of us are suffering in silence. I've done that, and sometimes we just need to raise our hand and say, I give. Father, help me. Send me resources. If you send in my life, men and women of God that pray with me, bore with me, cry with me, but sometimes we have to put the pride aside and say, I need help. Can you help me? Father God, I thank you for those that are saying, I need help right now. Do this prayer route. Right now, Father God, where it's mentally, physically, financially, Father God, you said ask, Lord, Father God. So we are pausing to say, you know what, God, touch that woman, touch that man, touch a young girl, that young boy that's saying, you know what, it's me in the need of prayer. It's me, not my mother, not my father. Father God, it is me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer, Father God, because you said we can persevere through our storms, through those storms in our life, regardless of storms of hardship, divorce, whatever it is, that storm of finances, foreclosure, you say we can persevere those storms. But once we get through the storm, we can shout and dance. But we can praise you right in the breakthrough right now, Father God. I thank you for breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough is coming. Release and receive it right now. Release whatever it is. Release it and receive it. The goodness, the mercy that he has for your life right now. In Jesus' name, Father. Touch Pastor Greg right now, Father God. As he ministers throughout this world, Father God, with these venues, Lord, because somebody right now is crying, said, that is me. I need him. I need your help. When all else is failing, Father God, you said you would never leave us. I know you have not left us, Father God, but sometimes we leave you, but you know what? You still embrace us and you still love us. You still care for us as tender children as we are in your sight. So, Father God, I decree and declare in Jesus' name, I decree and declare right now in the name of Jesus, the name that is powerful above all names on this earth. Jesus is the answer for the world today and will continue to be the world, Father. So we thank you, Lord, for embracing this community, Lord, with love, with care, with understanding, and know that there is help on the way. So I decree and declare, release and receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just agree for that breakthrough for folks, for you to receive right now what Dr. Carl prayed, what the Holy Spirit released through him. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. And we would love to hear some testimonies about what God does.
Amen.
So you can reach out to me, Pastor Greg at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Pastor Greg at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Just write testimony in the subject matter. Just put testimony. And we would love to be able to share some of those testimonies about Amen. What God does. Because the Word of God says that his ear, in Psalms it says his ear is turned towards us to yes. hear. He is wanting to hear yes. from his children. He wants to answer your prayers.
Yes.
And it's his will and it's his desire. The Word of God says to resist the devil and he will flee. And it says Amen. Then submit to him and in due time he will exalt you. 1 Peter 5, in due time he will exalt you. He wants to do that today for Amen. His glory. And man, we need that, as Pastor Carl prayed. The only salvation we have, the only way we turn our nation around, the only way we touch the world is to put our faith and our trust back in Jesus Christ and get our feet planted back on the rock. Dr. Amen. Carl, bless you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for pulling over. Thanks for being obedient to what God called you to do today. And thanks for being with me today. This was glorious. And I just pray refreshing right now for Dr. Carl. Father, refresh him spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. Bless his family, Father God. Father, as he has poured out, I ask now, Lord, that you would refill his cup to overflowing for his next assignment and give him safe journey. Prepare the path, prepare the way, prepare the venue, prepare those to receive, eyes to see, ears to hear. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Greg. Again, it was an honor, attitude of gratitude for this segment. I'm so glad I pulled over and said, yes, Lord.
Amen. Me too. All right, folks, we're taking a break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break. And I'll be back with Abraham Hamilton III. We're going to be talking about what the role of race in American politics and other stuff. He is with American Family Association General Counsel right after this.
So up next, we have ClanSlight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlight is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off-limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And well, I hope that you were inspired by the program that we just had with Dr. Carl Barnes, and I really want you to send me testimonies of the breakthrough prayer that he prayed for our audience there in that segment. Pastor Greg at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Pastor Greg at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. And I hope that you will bless us by sending in some of the testimonies, because I know the Lord was moving through Dr. Barnes. Well, I am really excited to have my next guest with me. He's general counsel for the American Family Association. I want to welcome to the program author and speaker and writer and influencer, Abraham Hamilton III. Abraham, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on.
Man, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Well, this is really quite a topic for us at this point in time. I don't know if you saw this. There was a video that kind of went viral. It was a young lady was graduating, I guess, from college, snatched the microphone from one of the staff and announced her name and said, "You guys didn't get my name right." And then threw the microphone down and walks off. And there's a TikTok, a Black American influencer, and he talks about it. And he's like, you know, this whole situation, the victimhood idea, and I was a victim because they didn't say my name right, and then I'm gonna, you know, act and behave and all this kind of stuff. It creates these ideas, and it gives space for bad behavior that shouldn't be accepted by anybody. But then the left, the radical left, loves to play the race card and say, well, if you say anything, then you're a racist because you can't correct any behavior. You can't correct, you know, kids that go into a McDonald's and trash the place and steal the cash box. You can't correct kids that run through the downtown and break out windows because they happen to be black kids. And if you say anything, now you're a racist. They're using race, to me, as a weapon, as a political weapon.
Yeah, it's no doubt about it. That is what's happening. And there's so much to say on this particular topic, but people need to understand that the introduction of critical race theory into the American body politic and American lexicon, really, critical race theory is a subset of an overarching ideology called critical theory. And critical theory was fomented in an exclusively European context. And the express goal of critical theory was to be a mechanism of advancing Marxism. And I'll explain a little bit of what I mean there. So okay. Your audience is probably familiar with the reality that Frederick Engels and Karl Marx saw themselves as creating an ideology that would unite the proletariat of the world. Marx and Engels are not the brain trust of socialism and communism. Their contribution was the utilization of violence as a means to accomplish those goals. Well, what ended up happening is that Marxists, Engels and Marx included, and others around the world expected World War I to be the proverbial match to set the flame for Marxism to be embraced worldwide. What ended up happening was the exact opposite. World War I led to many of the poor around the world in Ireland and other places to realize, wait, I am not irrepressibly in poverty. All I need is to get to a place that gives me the opportunity to let my God-given gifts flourish. Mm. And so many of these impoverished Europeans were introduced for the first time in world history to the West, into America. And so that ended up putting a wet blanket on the zeal of the poor to be violent in order to cast off the oppression of the bourgeoisie. So then you had people like George Lukács and others who said, wait a minute, this thing with violence is not going to work. We need to find another mechanism to get people to embrace Marxism. And George Lukács' ideology ended up feeding into people like Antonio Gramsci that said what we need is a long march through the institutions. Right. And so Marxists who were, Fabian, Marxists, Malthusians, and others in Europe, when World War II arises, many of them migrate to the United States, where you have the Frankfurt School and others, and they sought to employ the same tenets of critical theory, but to apply it in the exclusively and the unique American context. Well, what were the seams they wanted to attempt to fray in order to remember? The objective was never to cause anybody to have a better well-being. The objective is always to hew down the existing, what they call hegemony. You know, Gramsci specifically said, any society that is based in a Judeo-Christian ethos, it must be severed from that ethos at the root. So critical race theory was born as the American application of critical theory. Well, the objective, just as critical theory's objective, was to overthrow the established society and replace it with a Marxist utopia, which is interesting because the word utopia means no place anyway.
The goal was never
to help anyone, but simply to overthrow and to destroy the existing society.
Well, and it's interesting, Abraham, because remember when BLM came out, one of their core principles was to destroy the traditional patriarchal Judeo-Christian family model. That was one of their stated goals on their website. Now it was buried about three pages in, but it was a stated goal that was on there. And why did they put that out there? Well, because of what you're saying, because they knew that there was an element of people that were out there that would be drawn to that because they had been indoctrinated to believe that's what we need to do. That's the problem. I have always contended that in the 1960s, when you had the Vietnam War, and I was a Cold War vet back in the late early 80s, okay, but in the 1960s, you talked about Patton and what Patton wanted to do. He wanted to put a stop to this right off the bat, and I believe that's why they killed him. I believe he was assassinated. But setting that aside, 1960s, two ways to get out of the Vietnam War: academic or religious exemptions. Only two ways to do it. So who takes the academic and religious exemptions? The communists. Hello. And that put them into academia. It put them into our seminaries. And by 1970, on the seminary side, you've got 16 different versions of the Bible. You think that's by accident? Uh-uh. That was to create confusion. They had a long-term plan. They knew 30, 40 years down the road that if they threw enough of those out there, enough different translations out there, then they could begin to say, see, we told you, this is all a bunch of lies. This ain't true. This all made up by man. Because they created confusion at the root.
And the confusion creation is, again, a part of, I'm not one of these type of people that like to try to label everything with a broad brush, but it is important to understand the ideological root of things that are impacting us. And there are a lot of people that don't understand the ideological root. We're trying to deal with the fruit and ignoring the root. And without understanding the root, we won't be able to be effective and combating these wicked ideologies. As Colossians chapter 2 says, I know you're well familiar, the Lord by his spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is warning believers. I'm writing to you, verse 4 in chapter 2 says, so that no one would delude you, right? It begins with a delusion. Then by the time you get to verse 8, it metastasizes into full-blown captivity. I'm imploring you so that you will not be taken captive.
And then beware, right? Yeah, yeah. Beware of man's traditions. Beware of the lies.
The principles of this world and not upon Jesus Christ.
Come on.
And so that is what we have happening here. Like you brought up BLM. They never cared about anything going on in the hood in America. Their goal was Marxist from the beginning. That's why their founder said, we are self-avowed Marxists. We are Marxists. You have all of these objectives that are foreign. And I'm from the hood, so I know what people in the hood care about. They're foreign to what's going on in our neighborhoods. Yeah. They literally said one of the principles of when we gather, we do so, like you quoted, to loosen the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. What does that have to do with what's going on the block? Nothing. Because if you study Marxism around the world, in Cuba, in Venezuela, in Nicaragua, they always find three-word mantras that are undeniable. You know, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, land, air, and water. Who would object to that? You know, in America, Black Lives Matter. Who would object to that? Surely lives matter, but that is not your stated objective. And so when you're able to identify the root, it'll enable us to rightly assess the fruit and to recognize, wait a minute, you guys only show up in a particular narrative, but when two-year-olds get gunned down in Chicago, when a one-year-old child got shot down in the neighborhood I grew up in, New Orleans, you don't see BLM anywhere marching, protesting, anything like that, because they don't care about that. Right. The goal is the advancement of Marxism. So when we understand that, you got a lot of people that are passionate, but they're misinformed. Sincerity is not synonymous with being truthful or accurate. You have a lot of people that are sincere, but sincerely wrong.
Well, and we have evidence. Yeah, well, and we have the evidence, too. I mean, the experiment, or however you want to look at it, began. You've got Margaret Sanger and what she did with Planned Parenthood, which was attempting to sterilize an entire group of people, attempting to kill off an entire group of people. And then you have the 1960s and you have the quote unquote Civil Rights Act, except the Civil Rights Act actually ended up ultimately destroying the family because the percentages and everything you had, dad gets removed because what did they bring in? The Great Society. And it was an experiment. And trust me, folks, it wasn't the target audience initially was Black Americans. But it expanded because that wasn't the end-all goal. The goal was all Americans. We want to take fathers out of the house because we know what can happen. My wife and I were going through some financial challenges back in the late 80s, early 90s. And the church that I was an elder at the church, and the church was like, you know, there are some programs you guys can get some help just to get back on your feet. And so we went down, my wife called, and they said to her these exact words, divorce your husband. Divorce your husband and we'll give you free housing and free food and free medical and we'll take care of you. But you got to divorce your husband.
It's insidious. And the Civil Rights Act alone didn't do that, but the Great Society's advancement did that because the goal is to remove people's capacity to be independent of government. The easier we can have people that are dependent upon government, the easier we can get people to cede their freedom and depend solely on us as their primary resource. And so the decimation of the family was necessary in order for that objective to be executed.
The issue with the Civil Rights Act in some of its deterioration was this. It changed who gave rights. So we knew that our rights came from God. But slowly they eroded that and said, no, you don't get any rights. There is no God to get rights from. We're going to give you rights. So the Civil Rights Act, in a sense, codified that a certain group of people's rights were given to them by government, and government could then give them, and government could then take them away, and God had nothing to do with it. And so we lost sight of where our rights come from. All of us did. All of us did. And we have all given that away by saying, well, you know, the government tells us what we can do. I mean, the shutdown was a perfect example, Abraham. Good grief. That was craziness.
Yeah, it's absurd. And a lot of people focus on the 1960s civil rights movement, but we don't really even remember that there was an 1860s civil rights movement. And the intentional objection in impeding the 1860s civil rights movement allow for a corrupting of that perception, because we used to understand, all dating back to the Declaration of Independence, that our rights derive from the Creator. God is the giver of rights. Man's highest efficacy concerning rights is to protect what God gives. You have no capacity to remove what God gives, which is why the Declaration of Independence describes them as inalienable rights. You don't have the lawful authority to alienate these liberties because they proceed from God. Yeah. But with the corruption and the intentional obfuscation and reversal of the 1860 civil rights movement, it led to a devolution, if you will, to what we had manifested in the 1960s and going forward. And you know, I'm not the most seasoned saint in the building, but that ain't that long ago. You know, that's not that long ago. Now we're reeling from a lot of those missteps throughout history, and we're dealing with the consequences now.
Well, and the lies and the deception. You know, when you think about, you know, which party, political party, has done the most damage to Black Americans, there's no, there is no doubt that it's the Democratic Party. And yet you see them being identified by certain puppet players as being, oh no, the Democratic Party is the party that is the host party for. And it's, you know, when you look at the Republican Party, the Republican Party was founded in order to defend the right of Black Americans to vote. That was one of its most critical founding platform principles, was to literally take Black Americans to the polls, protect them so that they had the right to vote.
That's an uncontrovertible fact. That's why you have the first elected officials in American history on the federal level were all Republicans in the 1800s or early 1900s. But what ended up happening is that, and you're right, the one who's done the most is the Democrat Party, hands down. There is unrivaled. That's a fact. The reality is the Ku Klux Klan was the political enforcement arm of the Democrat Party. A lot of people focus on the Klan and the lynching of more melanated Americans, but the Klan lynched anybody who was invested in Black enfranchisement. They gave out things that looked like baseball cards showing the adjutants that were working to enfranchise Black voters. You had less melanated people and more melanated people who all were lynched by the Klan because they literally were the enforcement arm of the Democrat Party. But you also have the reality that a part of the contribution to the reversal of the 1860 civil rights movement, as the Klan was allowed to ascend subsequent to that, was a kind of a compromise when the Republican Party kind of turned a blind eye to a lot of the domestic terrorism that was happening. And I'm not saying that they were the firsthand
perpetrators
of that terrorism.
Right.
They were aware of what was going on. And so that the compromise in the late 1800s led to the Union soldiers removing themselves from the South and allowing some of the former Confederates to reestablish themselves, which then gave rise to the Klan. So I'm not trying to say that they're equivalent. Republican Party and Democrat Party are not equivalent, but we don't get to where we got as a nation without everybody being aware and their contribution across all sides, which is why I encourage Republicans to revisit your history. Understand that you are primary players in the 1860s civil rights movement, where you don't have to run from conversations of ethnicity and ethnic conversations on race. Let's tell the whole truth. One of the things I love about the Lord is that he tells the good, bad, and the ugly in scripture. We see David, you know, conquering Goliath, and we also know about him and Bathsheba. And the only way that we'll go forward, Jesus himself said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. By being willing to have these conversations about the truth about history, good, bad, and the ugly, we'll rightly be able to diagnose what has happened and also avoid repetition of that going forward. But unfortunately, by and large, not everybody, but by and large in the Republican Party, there's an unwillingness to unearth this history, because the truth is, progressivism was a mechanism that led to the decimation of America's urban centers and inner cities. And by acknowledging that, progressivism has advanced combined with Republicans' attitude in themselves, allowed for this modern iteration of this dichotomy and this duopoly of the uniparty to ascend.
Thank you for saying uniparty, because that was what was in my head. That was on the tip of my tongue to add that in, because when you talk about we're destined to repeat, we are repeating. We're watching happen once again. We're watching the uniparty, and we have it in Washington, D.C., and we have it in states that are supposed to be, conservative. We have it right here. We have an issue, a major issue with it right here in Texas. Huge issue with the uniparty. There's no excuse. No excuse.
It's no excuse. And here's a modern example of it. We talked about the 1860s. Republicans abandoning their platform formation, which was committed to, black people's enfranchisement. Well, where I grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana, there hasn't been a Republican mayor for over a century, or city council member for over a century. Now, on one hand, all of the death, poverty, and destruction is under Democrat political leadership.
Right.
But at the exact same time, there has been no competing force on the ground in those cities.
Right.
Republicans don't even try.
Yep.
So Democrats have no problem trying to move into Republican areas and say, we're going to turn Texas blue. But Republicans say things like, well, we don't want to waste votes because we don't have a chance to change hearts and minds. Well, you certainly won't have a chance if you don't show up.
Every shot
you don't take.
I like Michael very much. Another thing they say is, and I had a long conversation with one of the representatives, my representative, when we first moved here 11 years ago. And he's like, well, the reason that we compromise and we put them in these positions is because we know that one day they're going to be in charge and we hope that they'll do the same. And I just looked at him like, are you crazy? You're giving them the playing field. You own the field. You have a two-thirds, 66% of the House in Texas at the time was Republican. You had like a 30-to-1 ratio in the Senate. Literally, it was like 30 Republicans and there was one or two Democrats. And you're going to act as though, well, we need to be afraid of what's going to happen when. No, you need to enact the platform of the party now while you're there. And guess what? You'll make the people happy and the people will keep electing you and keep you in office. And none of that other stuff's going to happen. One other thing to the Louisiana thing. So it was, I believe it was 2006 was Katrina. Is that right? Was it
2005?
Okay, so I was doing a holy hip hop radio show called A Dose of the Ghost at the time that had been syndicated, and my stations and my folks said, "Hey, we want to send you to Texas. Can we go and adopt some families and help some people?" So I went to Houston. I worked with a church called Christian Tabernacle. They've since changed their name, but I worked with them. And we raised funds and we adopted five families. And we gave them 3 months worth of living. We paid for an apartment for each one of them for 3 months so that they could get back on their feet. One of them, they were all from Louisiana, but one of them, I was talking to one of the young men that we were helping, and he'd been kind of funky. It was his sister and him. And the sister's boyfriend, but he'd been kind of funky the whole time. And I was, just loving on him, just trying, be nice and all that, show him the Lord. And finally, we're at the Walmart, and he turns to me, and he goes, "You're the first white person that has ever treated me decently in my life. You've restored my faith." And he came back to the Lord. I think he had actually even been living a homosexual lifestyle, because he ultimately ended up passing several years later of AIDS. I don't know if he got it from drugs, or I don't know how it happened. But I know this. I know that the last years of his life, he was at peace, and he was serving God, and he had a relationship with Christ, and I'm going to see him in heaven. But when I will never forget this, Abraham. We're standing in line, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, man, but I don't understand. I don't know what I did. I don't know. Help me understand what's going on. And he said, "Okay, I'm just going to tell you, you are the first white person in my life that has been kind to me." And that, I mean, that it's a sad commentary. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It is a sad commentary. I get it, but it's a sad commentary. And like you said, you know, where was he? Well, he was in those, you know, Orleans boroughs that were controlled by what? Democrats. Mm-hmm. So all he'd ever encountered was Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising, and that is not an isolated experience, you know. But it shouldn't be surprising. It's remarkable to me when people struggle with particular types of sin. You know, partiality is a sin, just like homosexuality, fornication, adultery, lying, stealing, murder, and the sinfulness, the seat of that sinfulness is the human heart. You know, we saw evidence of that in Rwanda, the Rwanda genocide, where you have Hutus and Tutsis, where most of us Westerners, if we went to Rwanda, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart, you know. But when the wickedness of the sinful human heart is given room to flourish, man has the capacity of subjugating, demonizing, and murdering one another. You know, when sin entered a perfect creation, we have the first murder in human history when Cain killed Abel with a rock. Yeah. I didn't see Yahweh come around saying we need to have some rock control either, but that's a whole nother story.
All right, we've only got a couple of minutes. If you can, in about 60 seconds here, and it's a big, but what's the solution? How do we fix what they've done?
Yeah, the solution is what it's always been. Christ is the solution. Christ is the one that causes former enemies to become brothers. Christ is the one that would allow, you know, an apostle Peter, who is exhibiting partiality, to be confronted by Paul, but that relationship is maintained. So by the time the Jerusalem Council comes around in Acts 15, Peter is the one making the case for full Gentile inclusion in the body of Christ. The gospel is the answer, and we need people to unashamedly and unabashedly exalt Christ in every sector. People say, well, you can't talk about that in this world. Listen, just because politicians talk about something, it doesn't reclassify the issue into being inherently political. You know, the Lord is the truth, and that truth is advanced in every sector of society. And we need to have, I'm done with having politicians who take polls to see what's the popular stance. We need statesmen and stateswomen who will be committed and convicted to the principles of Christ and advocate for them in every sector. And that's the gospel exalted. Jesus said this, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. The answer is the same today as it has been since the first century.
Amen. Abraham, thank you for that. Thank you for that. AFA.net. AFA.net. Abraham Hamilton III is the general counsel for the American Family Association, and I really encourage you to learn what they're doing. Learn the work that they're doing. Very important work that they're engaged and involved in. And I encourage you to get over to AFA.net. You can sign up for their emails, and you'll get an email dropped in your box to let you know what's going on and how you can become active in helping to turn the tide. Abraham, thanks for being with us today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. Hang tight. All right, we're going to be back. Don Jans joins me. How do we defeat this Marxism? We'll talk to a Marxist expert right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio here on TECN-TV, as well as across all of our networks, and hit the listen tab. You can catch us there as well.